The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Glad that we're all together this evening, as always. D.V. Kidd joins us this first hour. If you look under D.V.'s name and guests, you'll find some very important things to look at. And if I'm not missing anything here, and I try not to, cast your eyes to the right and look at the Muslim featured story up there with all the stories under it. Look at the images. These aren't staged. All right, these are actual cell phones. I just saw them again, and they make me sick. I put them up there hopefully to make you sick. You better wake up and understand what the game is here. And Patty Doyle has it figured out. All right, we'll leave it right there, and Patty will be on later tonight. D.V. is standing by in Texas, and we will begin talking about something that is... you got to laugh, I guess. Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Atta girl. Got that fine. That fine dragged a little bit, but you sound good.
I know. I've been saving my voice. When my mother called earlier, I said, I can't talk right now. I'm saving my voice to go on the radio later. Oh, okay, bye.
Well, I'm glad she's calling and still able to talk to you. That's a blessing, so good.
Yes, it is, but she also lives in Oroville.
I know. Now, Oroville, all of you, wherever you are in the world, people all over the world listening, Oroville is a community in Northern California, northeast of San Francisco. It's up in the foothills of the Sierras. They built the world's largest earthen dam. It's not concrete like Hoover Dam or Boulder Dam. It's an earthen dam. And you remember last year, the rains were so intense that Oroville Dam saw the lake behind it fill up and overflow. It went down into that spillway and eroded the hell out of the mountain. And a lot of people think that it may have structurally damaged the actual earthen dam itself. Wouldn't surprise me at all. It just takes one little leak, and the water starts working its way through an earthen dam, and that dam is a half a mile thick, and that thing could fail. And then you got a real big problem. Tell us what's going on with Oroville.
Well, last year, there's two spillways, because I've been up there several times. There's a fishery up there, but...
Right.
Because there was so much water, they started releasing it in one of the spillways, and all of the concrete, not all of it, excuse me, a section of the concrete cracked and buckled, and so it went over and started flooding everything, so they shut that off and sent it over to the other spillway.
The other spillway is an emergency backup spillway. The first spillway was concrete lined, and that's what failed. And the other one was to the left of it, if you look at any of the pictures, Oroville Dam. And all that was basically a last-ditch effort to relieve the pressure in the lake by allowing the water to overflow in a lower area of the actual surrounding territory, not the dam, but to the left of it. That was just a spillway without a concrete lining. It was just a spillway to let the water go over the side and down into the riverway below.
And then they have at the bottom is what they called holding bays. But
right.
What happened, of course, is this water dumps at 90 miles an hour. And it was so dangerous that they actually had a mandatory evacuation of Oroville. Now, my mom is in assisted living in the path of what would happen. My brother lives up the mountain, so he's above it. Had the dam itself been breached and flooded, it would have covered an area the size of Connecticut. That's how many tens of thousands of people would probably have died, because this happened very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, even though they were warned since 2013, but you see, the state of California spends all their money on illegal aliens. And so they do it. Oh, no, we don't have any money. But
and gay rights, too. Don't forget that.
Oh, yes, the sexual deviants are at the top of the list. But 20% of the dam is owned by the Army Corps of Engineers, the U.S. government. So February, March, and April of this year, they started repairs on the concrete one, the main spillway.
The official spillway, right.
Yes, and you can, and it's a neat thing to see if you're ever, you know, going out. It's about an hour, depending on the traffic, because it's two-way.
Right.
Most of the way.
Look right under Devi's name and guests, click on that first link, and you'll pull up a Breitbart story, which has pictures. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, in any event, the deadline was November 1st. It was a $275 million contract, but February, March, and April, they spent $100 million a month. When I was in Oroville the last week of August and the first week of September, because my brother had back-to-back strokes, and at my hotel, there was a guy next to me who I wanted to strangle him, even though he was really nice, because he would get out, you know, come home or come back to the hotel at like midnight, and it's a diesel engine, and it would wake me up. But
yeah.
I saw him one morning. You know, and he started that damn diesel outside my hotel window. So I went outside and I said, I guess you're going somewhere pretty early. It's 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, God.
He said, I'm sorry. He said, I work up at the dam. I said, oh, okay. You have a pass. I said, my mom and my brother live here and a whole lot of really nice people. He said, I know it's been really hard on the people here in Oroville. There's 4,000 of us here working 24/7. We work during the night under big lights. Some
on
days.
The spillway.
Yes, on the concrete spillway, the picture you're looking at that
yeah.
I sent you.
Yeah.
But now they have detected a whole bunch. Well, they started after the very first layer of cement was poured. They already started seeing cracks. Well, the state of California is saying, well, that's kind of normal. Hairline cracks are anticipated. But Robert B.E.A., who's a professor emeritus of civil engineering and founding of the highly respected UC Berkeley Center for Catastrophic Risk Management, said that cracking in high-strength reinforced concrete structures is never to be expected. And down and further, it says that his group was especially alarmed by green grass that's continued to grow on the dam's abutments during the hot summer and fall.
Now, when you look at the Oroville Dam in the pictures, ladies and gentlemen, and I urge you to do that, the abutments are the left and right side of what looks like natural terrain that the dam is connected to, okay? Just so you get it. Now, if that's showing green, what does that tell you? It tells you that the water is percolating through.
Yes, and he says that the lush green grass indicates there has been seepage through the dam face for about 50 years. CCRM does not accept DWR's explanation that seepage is not a risk because it is just some natural springs. This is Bee's organization. CCRM warns that any seepage through an earth-filled dam should be extremely worrisome. So I ask you to, if we could open with this as a public service announcement, because I have been up there. I know exactly what they're talking about. And the, one of the things that came out that wasn't in the news, but was kind of, you know, the talk of the town, because you have all these guys working at that, you know, the both of the spillways,
yeah,
was that they actually found at the bottom of the dam cracks at in the dam itself. These guys were worried while they were working that the dam
in the earthen dam cracks in
yes.
the earthen dam.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Now remember what I said. If the dam blows, it would cover the area, an area the size of Connecticut. That is a rural area, but Oroville itself has about 23,000 people. Chico is 40 miles away, so it would not be impacted, but Biggs and Gridley are only 15 miles away.
Uh-huh.
Marysville is about 30. But the way the that goes down to the holding bays that then dump into Sacramento River. Okay, this is very dangerous. When I saw this earlier today, I just went, oh my God. Oh my God. They had damn well, you know, they evacuated 200,000 people in a heartbeat, you know, when the crack started. And when the crack started across, it just kept buckling and buckling and buckling. But here we have a problem, $500 million, and now there's cracks all over the damn place, and the state's people want to say that, oh, you know, it comes
Don't
from
worry.
Natural
Be
springs.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Bull. I believe the guy who's a professor emeritus of civil engineering.
Yes. Yes. Now,
so if you live in that area of Northern California, you need to get on the phone to your state representative. You know, read the article. You're posting it, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah. And even if you don't live there, but if you know somebody who lives there, you know, use social media, but get the word out. You call your member of your state legislature and say, hey, you're playing with our lives. You're playing with our livelihoods. Because what was so eerie about it when they evacuated, do you know that the whole town literally was evacuated, Jeff? My brother was, this was before he had his strokes in August, this was earlier this year.
Uh-huh.
My brother went into town and they would not let him in certain parts because everything was under mandatory evacuation, but they didn't evacuate the big hospital, which is right next to the assisted living where my mother lives, and that's also, they have a wing for the Alzheimer patients. That's a lockdown wing.
Right.
But that groupage up there is all medical, and there would be no way to get all those people out of there. No way. When that water starts coming at 90 miles an hour, there's no way. This is, to me, a very, very dangerous situation.
Well, building an earthen dam is stupid, in my view, to begin with. And if I see, and I don't know what I'm seeing, I'm looking at the face of the dam now, and it looks like there are green patches down near the bottom on the dam. Now, the abutments coming in, yeah, they're lush, and you can see that. And I can't see green grass. Oh, I do see green grass on the front side, on the right side abutment. And that suggests that water is sneaking around and seeping through the right side where the dam meets the abutment.
Amazingly enough, because it's a small world and, you know, what is it, the six somethings that connect everybody? I forget how you say it. But one of the couples who live at the assisted living where my mom lives, he actually worked on the dam when it was being built.
Oh.
And that's how he became disabled, was through an accident there. But when I was out there the last time, and, you know, we were talking about it. This was in late August when Richard, my brother, had the strokes and almost killed him. I was talking to Larry and his wife, because my mom, you know, at the dinner table there. And I said, you know, Larry, I know you worked on the dam when it was being built. And he said, yeah. And I said, I've heard that there are some leak points at the bottom. And he said, the dam really is built well. He said, underneath all of that, there's a lot more concrete than people know about,
right,
which is how he at had the, this accident.
Yeah, at the there bottom was, there is concrete, yes.
Yes, and I forget how the accident happened, but he fell 40 feet,
mm-hmm,
and he became disabled.
Mm-hmm.
He almost died from that, but he was actually one of the people who worked on it at the very beginning. He said it's stronger than you think, but he did go on to talk about the problem with an earthen dam like that and seepage. And he said, so far we haven't heard anything about that. Now, that was the last week of August, first week of September, when I had to go out there because my brother was disabled before and I'm his legal guardian and he almost didn't make it, so I had to get out there. But like I said, this, you know, if you know anybody or if you live in that area, they need to call their state representative and say, you people better get on this because it's almost December. And so far, the rain in that area has been fairly mild. And thankfully, it's been heavy where my sister lives in Vallejo and Santa Rosa and that area. And that's, of course,
well, they don't want too much in Santa Rosa, those mudslides.
Yeah, yeah. But that also helped put out the fire. They actually got some fairly decent rain that helped put out the fire. So, but this, I see the big alarm bells going off. You know, and when you have somebody like this professor emeritus of civil engineering say that you should never expect to have cracks in this industrial.
Not acceptable. Well,
yeah,
I'm surprised they rebuilt the spillway where it was. I thought they were going to just channel it over to the left where it did most of the damage and make it simple. But they filled it in on the right as you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking left as you're going downhill. But if you look at it, on the right side was the big erosion. That dam is 2.5 football fields high.
Yes, it's the deepest in the United States.
Yeah, it's huge. And I just don't understand how anybody, it's half a mile thick at the bottom or something like that. I get it. But still, water's the heavyweight champion in geology. It goes where it wants to go. And eventually it'll work its way through almost anything. And I don't.
Well, if you saw the pictures of when it was happening, you know, before they took any action, there was lots and lots of pictures on the Daily Mail UK. They I give them credit. They're
how
such
do you
a sleazy
figure out that we get so much of our news from the Daily Mail?
That they're a sleazy website. It's a lot of boobies and vaginas and stuff that are barely covered, but I ignore that on the right.
No,
but they are
the
always
news
first.
Is yes.
Is accurate
they beat our MSM all to hell.
And the overhead photos of all of these terrible events like Harvey and Irma and Oroville, they have the most amazing photo coverage of anything you've ever seen. But when the pictures, and I know exactly where they were taken because I've been up there. My mom's lived up there for 35 years. But to watch the water coming off of that earthen spillway and the people standing there watching it in shock. They'd never seen anything like it.
Yeah, they were across the waterway below it, watching it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Imagine
and
the noise of that.
It was frightening for me to see the pictures. But anyway, I just wanted to get that out there. So.
Well, good. It's a very good point. Very important. And that dam, has anyone said that you've seen saying that dam ought to be closed? Or not closed, but somehow.
No.
Remediated, drop the water down
like that,
halfway
just,
or something.
They feel that the concrete spillway is the one that is. It's actually pretty beautiful to watch when you're standing near the bottom because near the bottom is right at town, and there are certain places where you can stand there and watch the water, and you can get fairly close
from town,
and it just comes barreling down that concrete spillway.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite something to see. Yes, it is very loud, but the dam's been there for a long, long, long time. And this, you know, they should have heeded the warnings of the Army Corps of Engineers in 2013 when they said, you're looking at a disaster with that concrete spillway. It needs to be replaced. So, you know, they dumped, it says they poured 1,700-foot cement top sheet, then roller compacted and smoothed the spillway surfaces shortly before the November 1st contract deadline. My guess, having worked as a contracting officer for the Department of the Air Force, is these kind of contracts have penalty clauses. And the
had to get it done on time.
The contract and deadline was November 1st.
Quality and doesn't always win, does it?
Well, it could be that, you know, when they said that they, you know, poured the 1,700-foot cement top sheet and then roller compacted and smoothed it, they may have just done it to try to beat the November contract deadline. And, you know, I'm not accusing the company of doing anything. It's called the Kiewit Corporation. They're a big, big contract corporation in this country. You see their signs all over the United States. They're huge. But I'm just worried about it.
And well, if the spillway fails, the same thing will happen that did last time. They'll have to rebuild it again, most likely.
If they can stop it, that's the problem.
Right, I know.
You know, that the spillway is there because when the lake fills up to a certain point, they have to – the spillway, let me put it this way, that concrete spillway, Jeff, is open all the time. There's water coming down there all the time, but it's small. You know, it's just, you know, kind of a pretty glass coming down and then it gets
Well, it sets the top level of the water in the lake is what it does.
Because it – the water – Oroville is also fed by the Klamath River and several other river sources.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and so besides the rain, and so they're always letting water out, and that like I said, it goes down in the holding bays where you can go fishing because I've fished down there before. Then it dumps into the Sacramento River and goes down the Carquinez Straits out to the Pacific Ocean. But this is to me very. I just have a, you know, red flags going up all over the place. So if you live there or you know somebody who lives there, get on the phone to your state representatives, express your, you know, concern because.
Yeah, cracks in concrete.
So many people will die, probably including my mother, even though she's on the second floor.
Well, we're talking about, we want to be clear, we're talking about if the dam goes, not the spillway. The spillway went once and the dam held, but the amount of pressure. Over the decades that dam has been there, I wouldn't even begin to know how to measure something like that, but it's got to be gigantic.
Yes.
Anyway, we will see. All right,
Thank you for doing that.
Oh, of course. Hold on, we'll come right back and continue right after this. Now, this is really something that should go down in our cultural history as a turning point of one kind or another. Catherine Kate Steinle, murdered by a 5-time deported illegal Latino male. Murdered by this guy. They put him on trial, and a California jury found him not guilty. Dee Dee?
Yes, it's when I saw the headlines, 5 hours ago, I damn near fainted. I could not. I thought this was another one of those satire sites. This guy, this Zarate.
Garcia Zarate.
Okay? He's a 7-time convicted felon, deported 5 times.
Hold on. Okay? Hold on. But let me back up. You heard what she said. Even more outrageous than the deportations, I forgot to mention, 7-time convicted felon. Go ahead.
Protected by the city of San Francisco. Okay. The sheriff department refused to cooperate with ICE. And so this killer is able to, he said, found the gun on the pier that day.
No, go ahead. You know where it came from. Go ahead.
The gun that was used to murder her was stolen from the car, allegedly, from an employee of BLM.
Right.
Which should be abolished, Bureau of Land Management.
Yep.
The week before. So you have all of these two. I know where this happened. I have been on all of those piers in San Francisco. I've eaten in every damn restaurant. I've eaten at Fisherman's Wharf because I'm a crab hound. I absolutely. Dungeness crab is my favorite food in the whole world, which I can't afford to eat anymore. But even if I could, I wouldn't because it's coming out of the Pacific. Yeah. You can't order it from Alaska, which is still good, but overnight shipping costs a fortune, and I don't have that kind of money. But I know the area. When you have tourists like that and there's a freaking gun laying on the pier and nobody saw it, give me a break. The jury believed this crap. He was found not guilty of first and second degree murder. Now, my personal opinion is that it would have been very hard to convict him of first degree murder. Okay? That's a little dicey on this. But the jury should have convicted him of voluntary manslaughter, but he was found not guilty of first and second degree murder and involuntary manslaughter. He was found not guilty of assault with a semi-automatic weapon.
God, this is incredible.
He was found guilty on count 2, which was possession of a felon with a firearm. Oh, big deal.
Yeah.
This young, beautiful woman lay on the pier and ask her father, "Daddy, help me." And she died in his arms. And these brain dead lemmings who are not a jury of your peers. This is at San Francisco. This comes from the voting registration. Okay? Jury of your peers. Hopefully have a damn brain in their head. How on in God's name did they not convict this guy? He just happens to pick up a semi-automatic weapon on a pier with dozens of tourists walking by, and he said the gun just accidentally went off, and they believed a 7-time felon. Everybody knew the circumstances of him being in that sanctuary city, and that ex-drug junkie governor who loved nose candy and Linda Ronstadt. Yes, Governor Brown, the big hypocrite going after opioids and stuff like that. I was lived in the San Francisco Bay Area during the Haight-Ashbury time. I went to concerts in San Francisco to see Pink Floyd and people like that. I knew that whole scene over there. It was no secret that Jerry Brown was stuffing cocaine up his nose faster than you could take a breath.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Well, he's declared, and the city and the legislature, that California is a sanctuary city. So you know what I would do if I owned a business? You know what I would do if I was a tourist? I would take the time in honor of Kate Steinle's life. And I would send a very short snail mail letter, not a damn email, but a snail mail letter to the mayor and to the San Francisco Chronicle. And I would say, you know what? Our company is not going to ever hold another convention in your city. We will never, ever put a penny. If we have to drive through San Francisco, we will make sure we put gas in our car before we get to the city of San Francisco. And if you're an individual who was thinking about going to San Francisco, because it does have, you know, the beauty. You just do the same letter. Dear Mayor, dear San Francisco Chronicle, I am decided not to come to San Francisco. I will never step foot in your city, and I sure as hell am not putting a penny into your economy in honor of murdered Kate Steinle. Now, how's that justice for you? So.
Well said.
I'm going to do it. Yeah. I am going to take the time this weekend to write.
What's it
the
take?
Two
five
letters.
Minutes? Come on. 10 minutes?
It takes me 5 minutes. I type very fast. Sometimes when I've gone to California, I visit my sister, and we take BART over to San Francisco to go to Fisherman's Wharf. But never again. No way. This is one of the reasons why.
No, that's the only thing they'll understand. They don't understand fairness, justice, nothing.
And I'm sorry for the people who work in San Francisco, you know, that are probably is out. There are people, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, good people who live in San Francisco who are equally outraged over this. And I'm sorry if you work in hotels or the food industry or the retail industry or whatever. But it's you folks who vote in these deranged. Have you ever seen their new mayor? Have you ever seen their new sheriff? I think she's one of those... transsexual, bisexual, LBJ,
quadrasexual, totally genetically lost. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah.
Oh, when I saw their city council and the new sheriff, because the old sheriff who was sheriff when this happened, he's out. They voted him out. I just looked at this and I thought, is this something from the Star Trek movies? Would you look at these loons? But remember, if you're going to go to Disneyland, you can be shot and killed. And some brain-dead jury is going to let the murderer off scot-free if they're an illegal alien. It's the only thing they understand. It is the only thing that they understand is when you say, I will not. I will not put money in your economy. I will not book a convention there. I will not stay at your hotel.
No, that's it.
I will not put gas in my car.
Kindness, humanity means nothing. It's all about money.
No.
Just money. That's it.
I hope Dee Dee will consider doing this. Think about her parents. Uh-huh. They were not in the courtroom.
First of all,
why did it take... The trial was 12 days long. Why in the hell did it take this jury of lemmings 6 days? They deliberated 6 days. What did they do? Spend 8 hours a day eating lunch? For God's sakes, this was as cut and dry. There were... all kinds of witnesses there.
I don't have an answer for you.
I don't know either. That's obviously a rhetorical question, but a statement. But
I honestly think this has to be political. There's no other way. Somehow they had somebody in that jury who would not go along. They didn't announce the actual breakdown.
Well, what happened during Vore Dyer? That's, you know, when they questioned the jurors.
Yeah.
I don't know about how much... publicity have you seen on this? How much do you know about it? Vore Dyer is very, very important. You know, I would love to have been there during the jury selection, but her parents were not in the courtroom at the time. But can you imagine them watching the breaking news on the TV? I'm sure that, you know, the city attorneys probably called the parents right away, but they must be in shock.
I can't even imagine the grief. I'm sorry, I cannot.
What is his sentencing going to be? He's already been deported 5 times. The son of a bee should be sent, you know, to, what the hell's the name of that prison over there? Not Alcatraz, but the other one. He should be put on death row for this.
Of course, he murdered her.
You know?
Of course.
But like I said, it would have been very difficult to get a first degree. Voluntary manslaughter, yes. That would have put him away probably for the rest of his life.
Probably not. Not in California.
But,
no, they would have put an out clause in there after 10 years eligible or something.
When my daughter moved out of Los Angeles, West Hollywood, 7 years ago, Jeff, I put my hands together and I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for getting my daughter out of that anus. called the Los Angeles County.
Yeah, I remember. I remember you telling me that.
Every time I went to see her, I was waiting to be in a car accident.
Yeah.
You know, because something like 33% of drivers who live in California don't have
insurance?
Car insurance.
Nope.
But Los Angeles is a sewer. Okay. I just thank God that she was out of there.
I couldn't agree with you more, and yet there are people who love Los Angeles. It's fine with me. I don't care, but I think
I was born and raised in California.
Yeah, well, we remember what it used to be like.
Beautiful state. Yeah.
Well, L.A. was one of the most beautiful, undervalued and underappreciated cities in America in the 30s and 40s. Fabulous place. Read Raymond Chandler's stories if you want to know what L.A. used to be like. Raymond Chandler, the Philip Marlowe detective series, it comes alive. Sheriff Vicki Hennessy, San Francisco. Yeah, she looks like a World Wrestling Federation? I don't know what the hell she is.
I know you can't judge a book by its cover, but...
I can make a pretty good guess.
Yeah, well, San Diego... is where my daughter was born. She was born at Sharp Memorial Hospital there. And, you know, Coronado Island, I've been on several times. And there's some very beautiful parts of San Diego. And I've been through Malibu many, many times. And California, where my mom lives, up in the bottom of the Sierra Nevadas. And it's certain parts of California are still very gorgeous and beautiful.
Well, Santa Barbara, where I'm from. Didn't get any prettier.
It's just gorgeous. Yeah. Oh, yes. But it's the legislature has been controlled by socialists and communists going on 48 years.
Yeah.
And it's the primary reason why I told my late husband, we are leaving. We're putting this house on the market. The banks are going to crash. This was in 2005. And then he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, so he had to wait till February 2006. I came out here and bought this house in Texas. But I said, the state taxes that we pay are going, $8 to $10 billion a year to clothe and feed and educate and incarcerate millions of illegals, where native Californians and naturalized citizens no longer have any rights. I said, we're getting out of here. Because they're going to take over this state, and then it's going to be another shithole, excuse me, just like parts of Mexico. You know, I've used to go down to Acapulco and the big touristy areas in Mexico. But you know what? I have also, with my friends, my buddies, veered off the tourist routes, driving into these small villages and watching mothers peddle their 8 or 10 year old daughters on the street corner as prostitutes.
That's back then.
Yes.
Can you imagine what it's like now? And L.A. Under the thumb of this political reality in California now has to be degrading. It's got to be dirty and filthy. They've got to have obvious signs of a city in a severe and terminal decline. I haven't been down there. But I've heard stories about it.
There's areas where there are no billboards in English.
No, that's what I've heard.
Seriously, none of them. Everything's in Spanish. Everything. It's like being down in Tijuana or something. Which was a shock the first time I ever went down there.
Oh my God.
The first time I ever went to Tijuana, I was 18 years old and green as grass. And I had no idea of the word debauchery until my friends and I, people say, oh, yeah, go down there, señoritas. You'll like this.
Mm.
Oh, my God, what was going on? We just skedaddled out there. We could hardly wait to get back across the border.
That was then. I saw California going down as well, and that's why I moved north. Same reason you moved east. And a lot of Californians have left the state, lots of them, probably hundreds of thousands.
Oh, there's still a huge exodus.
Yeah,
because they make it so expensive for businesses to even operate there. I mean, their legislature is full-time. You know, ours only is in session 140 days every other odd year, like Nevada, Montana, and North or South Dakota, I forget. Four states that are only every other year, not to exceed 140 days. As a matter of fact, when I was out today, I had Sean Hannity on because I listened to, you know, he and Rush Limbaugh while I'm just driving around doing errands and stuff. And today Hannity was talking about why does New York have a state income tax? Because, I mean, you know, the guy makes $30 or $35 million a year. So, you know,
hard to believe.
But
hard to believe.
Nine states of the union have no state income tax. And I've always wondered why people in like Oregon and stuff who have huge income tax, New York, Oregon, California, why is it that the people in the states haven't risen up and demanded that the state get rid of their state income tax? It's bad enough that we have to be raped for federal income tax that does not fund the government. It goes to foreign banking concerns. All of these nine states are all able to run on no personal state income tax, like where I live. I always wondered why people, you know, get out of the oxen mode. You know, remember oxen with the yoke around them?
Mm-hmm.
Get out of that mode. Get off the damn plantation and go after your state legislatures. You know, priorities versus importance. Is it that damn important to go shopping or watch some damn football or basketball, whatever it is?
Don't forget about smartphones. You got your smartphone. You're connected to the reality of your choice. You know what we might do is if you want to write up a simple form letter to the sheriff and the mayor or whoever in San Francisco, I can post them. People can just print them out, sign them, and mail them.
Yeah.
It's just send them over if you want to do that.
Yeah. And by the way, the next time I'm on, I almost forgot we were going to say that next time I'm on, which is the second Tuesday of December, which is going, Yeah, December. Can you believe it's almost December? So the second Tuesday
like
will be the 12th. We're going to have open line call-ins, right?
Whatever you want. I forgot.
We talked about this earlier today.
I forgot. All right. So that's the 12th of December.
Yeah.
And we're going to open the phones. And we will, Very good.
Yep.
I'm not seeing.
We want to hear what you have to say out there on some of this stuff.
Right. I'm not seeing. I don't see Merry Christmas out there, but I am seeing Jeff Bezos and his enormous. What is that little round thing which has the voice of Alexa in it that everyone's buying for their home and you talk to it? And
I've seen that, but I would never have it in my house.
Well, I don't know what it does. But anyway, they're saying that you can tell it to do things. I guess you can wire your house up to it. I don't know. But there's an ad and it says, Alexa, turn Hanukkah on. Doesn't say anything about Merry Christmas. You got 6 or 7 million Jewish people in America. That's it out of 320 million. And the ad says, and it shows a big Hanukkah menorah, and Alexa, turn Hanukkah on. God forbid it would say, Alexa, turn Christmas on.
I wonder what it turns on. How do you turn on a holiday?
That's a good question, but doesn't slow up the brainwashing. It amazes me.
I don't want any of those gadgets in my house. I know I'm old, but I just don't want any of them.
I
prefer to have human touch, you know, the human. Humans need
interaction.
Humans.
They used to. Now you got your cell phone, though, and if you go out and among them, you look, and the human interaction is noticeably absent.
I couldn't. If I use my cell phone 3 hours in a year, that's a lot. And last Thanksgiving, because I spent it alone here with my dogs, but the Thanksgiving before, I went out to my mom's house, and Net10 notifies me on the road that I can no longer use my phone because they're going to send me a new phone, and I get on, I finally get them on the phone. I said, what the hell are you people doing? I'm 2 days away from my home. I still have 1,600 miles to drive, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, so my friend, when I came back, he gets on the phone to them And do you know they gave me 5,500 free minutes?
Wow. You've probably used about 55 of those, right?
So. Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. The only time I use it, I keep it in my SUV just for an emergency. But when I drive out to see Mother, I call her in Arizona and say, Mom, I'm in Arizona or something. But I will never use all those minutes the rest of my life. I don't like all that stuff.
No. No, I don't have a
smartphone. For one thing, all of those gadgets are very expensive. You know, I see these news things, and I see $800-$900 for these iPhone, smartphone, or whatever the heck you call. And I go, are you kidding me?
Doesn't matter. That's your identity. That's your ticket to interact with the world. This is 2 years ago. 2 years ago, the average daily use of smartphones and tablet users, 3 hours and 5 minutes a day. All right? That's up from 2 hours and something the year before. I wonder where it is now after 2016. It's probably pushing 4 hours. And by 2016, mobile device users will spend 3 hours and 15 minutes a day using apps. Apps. There's an app for everything.
Not for DB.
Apps, yeah. Apps for life. All right. Thank you. Take care of yourself. And we will do that open phones on December the 12th.
Okay. Everybody stay well. Stay safe. Watch out for the illegals.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, TV.
Okay, bye.
Okay. We will be right back with more.